Pastor asked me to read the scripture this morning, and it's the one we read last week because we're still in that text, and I'm reading from the NIV, and it's 1 John 1, 1 through 10, and my Bible referenced this as, God is light, the word of life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, that which was with the Father and appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim that we're without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives.
Okay, how about now? There we go. Technology. Hey, you know, there'll be no computers in heaven. Did you know that? We have biblical evidence of that because he says there will be no weeping or gnashing of teeth. And I think that goes for automobiles as well, to be honest with you. But anyway, we want to mention a couple things. First of all, some praises, really. We've got Phyllis is doing well. We were able to visit with her, I think that was Wednesday afternoon. And we had a nice visit with her that day. It was very good, and she's coming right along. And Hannah is coming along well also. And so we're glad for those things. Keep praying for them, but pray for them also in the light of praise. God answers prayer, and we're glad for those healings. We also want to mention a few. We want to mention Robin Baldwin. He is still in the hospital. They have done an echo on him and of his heart, but we haven't heard anything from his doctor. And then also, praise the Lord, Marcia is doing so well. They're taking her off a hospice on Wednesday, and she will be on palliative care, so a nurse will still come to her, but not quite as often as I understand it. So we're thankful for that. And also Lois Litke was going to go over, I think, to the emergency room this morning. She was still experiencing dizziness. It started a day or so ago, so we want to keep her in prayer as well. So we'll just lift these concerns. If you have other needs, know that the Lord knows about them. If I don't mention them specifically, God knows anyway, doesn't he? And I'm not coming here to inform God. We're just coming to acknowledge that we need him in all things. Let's just bow our heads and our hearts before him. Father, we thank you so much that you indeed care for us. You are aware of every need, every aspect of our lives. You know more about us than we know about ourselves, Lord. And we're thankful. We're always glad and rejoicing when we hear good news, uplifting news, like Phyllis is getting better and continues to do well, is at home now and is resting and just enjoying your help in that. And also for Hannah, though she faces another procedure on the other side, Lord, we know that she's doing well with the first procedure she had, and just trust that she'll continue to heal from that. And give her not only physical encouragement, Lord, but I know give her personal encouragement, emotional encouragement as she goes through this. I know she'd rather be at school with her friends, but we're glad that she's able to get the help she needs. And Father, we want to thank you also for Marcia, that she's doing well and they're able to change her status. And we just pray that you'll continue to just help her to know your presence and your love. We pray your encouragement on the Johnson family with the challenges they've faced of late. We thank you for this good news in regards to Marcia. And we also want to lift up our brother Robin, as he's been in the hospital for a day or so now, and just pray that you will give those who are attending him wisdom and care as they work with him. Give them discernment for every decision, big or small, and may they be able to discover what the challenge is so that he might be helped. And Lord, we know that in all cases you can simply reach in and bring healing, and so we certainly would welcome that in his case and in others. And we think of Lois Litke, who has been suffering from dizziness, and we just lift her before you and trust that you will minister in her life as well, and may you give those who are attending her the wisdom and discernment they need to discover what may be causing this and that they might be able to help her in that situation. And Father, you know the other needs that are represented here. Most of all, our greatest need is to walk ever closer to you and realize more and more your presence in our lives, your working in our lives, your transforming Holy Spirit working powerfully in our lives. And we welcome you to do that. And even this morning, as we take some time to look into your word, we ask that you teach us and speak to us, and that we would listen with ears that are not only hearing, but willing to allow your Spirit to apply to our hearts and lives that which you have for us. And may you be glorified in it all. And we pray for this community, Lord, that you would open eyes and hearts, that they might see the true light of Jesus Christ and be drawn to him. Wherever they may be in relation to him, that they would be drawn ever closer. And those who don't know him yet, the pre-believers, Lord, we hopefully pray that they will soon come to know you as Lord and Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've mentioned a number of you as we've been going from house to house and meeting with you. And by the way, we're up to almost 80%. So we're getting there. We just have a few. We've always got a few holdouts. No, it's not really like that. Some have had to cancel and or change, I should say, because they had a complication. But I'm so glad that it looks like we're going to be able to meet with everybody. And we're so thankful for that. And I have given out round tuits to each family that we've met with. Sometimes they're wooden, and sometimes they're, maybe I don't have any plastic ones left. And if you get a wooden one, it's because I ran out of plastic ones. But anyway, they're either a blue plastic or they're a wooden one like this. If you did not get a round tuit because I forgot to give it to you, you come get me after the service and I'll give you one, okay? I want to make sure you get that. And it's just kind of a reminder to pray for the church, pray for direction as we move forward. Of course, it's kind of a medal because you got around to it and met with us. But more importantly, I want you to be praying for what God has. But at any rate, as we've gone around, one of the things that Cheryl and I noted, and I'll reiterate it here, is that we came over here a couple weeks ago on a Monday, and they were doing some work on the trees out front. And if I'm pointing the wrong direction, you just have to forgive me. I don't know which way is which around here. But we came into the parking lot to park, and we couldn't hardly find a spot. It was about 2:30 in the afternoon, thereabouts. And it was full of cars. And you know why? Because all the parents are picking up their kids during that time. And they have, and Pastor Rod had given permission for them to park there if they wished. And that's an opportunity in our laps here, folks, for sharing Jesus with people. And I don't necessarily mean in-your-face sharing. Sharing can come, and obviously we eventually have to share the words. But to share love, to share, hey, you're welcome here. Hey, Shay, hey, we're friendly people. We're not some weirdos from another planet, you know. Well, we are actually from another home, but you know what I'm saying. And so I just would covet your prayers. I encourage your prayers that God would give us direction. And we spent some time praying about this on Thursday evening. God, show us how we might best minister to those folks who are parking in our parking lot 4 or 5 days a week, depending on if you're off on Friday like we were last Friday. Wow! A full parking lot. And I just think, wow. And we did get to talk to a couple of the families while we were there that day. And they were friendly. They didn't bite or anything. And I didn't bite. So I think it went well overall. Anyway. Now, does that time that I've just used count against my sermon time? I didn't know. Because from now on, it's only 2 hours. Just kidding. What was that? I like you, Divine. I knew I liked you. You know, how many have ever been in total darkness? I mean total darkness. You can't see your hand in front of your face, you know? And it'd be interesting to know how you experienced that. A number of years ago, I went into a cave. There were a bunch of college-age folks that I was their pastor, okay, in Dayton, Ohio. And they said, Pastor, we want to take you caving. And I wasn't sure how excited I was about that, but I wanted to be a good sport. And so I went along. We drove to Indiana, spent the night. And while we were there, they were nice to me. We went into the cave at night, at about 11 o'clock at night. And that's actually a good thing because you don't feel that change so radically from going to dark to darker. But as we were in there, I remember going along, there's this huge section. It was wide, but it was only about this high. And so we had to kind of roll or crawl, whatever you could, for 100 yards. And the whole time we're rolling and crawling, there's bats going, phew, 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 phew. They never hit us. I wasn't tempted to try to catch one. But if we turned off our flashlights, it was completely, absolutely dark, especially as we got around the first bend and beyond where the light might have come in a little bit, but it was dark outside, remind you. It was absolutely dark, and you literally could not see your hand in front of your face. No matter how close you put it, there was no way without turning on some kind of artificial light to see. Most of us can handle that for a few seconds, even a few minutes, but then there's a point where even I, in that situation, I'm not particularly afraid of dark, you start imagining things. What might be over here? And of course, bats were flying by too. That's one thing you could start thinking about. What other creatures are in this cave that might crawl on me or otherwise even harm me? You know? And so your imagination can get very active. And in darkness, we just don't see. We can't see. We can't understand our surroundings. And if we in that situation and we had no light, we simply wouldn't know what was around us. We could reach out our arms and maybe find that there was nothing near us. We move a little this way, maybe we find a cave wall or something. But basically, we can't tell what's around us without light, right? And you know the situation when you're turning off that last light in your house, you're getting ready to go to bed, and all of a sudden it's absolutely dark because your eyes are not used to it yet. And you take two steps and you find that, well, this is a little old time for us. You suddenly find that Lego with your bare foot on the floor. You suddenly kick your foot into the chair leg and you go, oh! And we're like that when we're without light, physical light. But we're also like that if we don't have a light of God. If we don't have the spiritual light, the light of understanding that we have through His Word. Amen? And through the Holy Spirit who enters us and helps us to understand His Word, enables us to understand. Because if you talk, and maybe you can remember a time before you knew Christ, I certainly can. When I would look at the Word of God and I say, what's this? I don't get it. It's just a bunch of gibberish to me. I don't get it. Might as well be Chinese. It might as well be Japanese or something. I don't know those languages. I couldn't speak them. I couldn't understand them. I couldn't read them. And the Word of God is like that for those who are outside the body of Christ. I think that God gives light for us to move forward. But it's a little bit of light. And then as we respond to that light, we move forward. And eventually, we did receive Jesus Christ. Hopefully, all of you have done that. But if not, that's the step We move forward when God gives us light. And even as believers, as soon as you accepted Christ, you automatically knew everything about God in the Bible, right? I think if you're honest, and I'm sure you are, you would admit that even now, if you've been a Christian even 20, 30, 40 years, perhaps, there's still a lot more out there to discover than what you understand and know. And things you thought you knew before, you said, well, I wasn't quite right about that, and God's put me on a better course. Amen? And the amazing thing is we read here in the scripture, and it's hard for us to comprehend this, but verse 5, our God, we're told that God is total light. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, if you went around this room carefully, you could find some places that were darker than others, perhaps underneath this piano, right? It's not as light. There aren't any places like that in God's presence. I can't comprehend that, can you? But that's the reality. The best we could do is take a bright light, and we don't really want to look into it because it'll make our eyes hurt. But, you know, then we begin to get a perspective. You think about the sun and just total light, and you don't want to look at the sun. It's bad for your eyes to do that. But even that's an imperfect example compared to what we're being told here. Because it's not just physical light. It's light of truth. It's light of righteousness. It's light of love, and on and on and on of all the perfections of God. Total light. And these three verses, 5, 6, and 7, comprise what's called in, well, we would call it that too, chiasmus. It's an ABBA theme, okay? Light, dark, dark, light. Starts out with light, then he talks about dark, and then he goes back to talking about light in these three verses. And God's working among people is constantly described as the bringing of light that eliminates darkness. It vanquishes darkness. Again, we have a hard time with that. We know that at night it's dark. I take our dog out walking in the evening after the sun has gone down, and even though we've got street lights, there's still shadowy places. I stay on the sidewalk because I don't want to find something with my foot that I don't want there. You know, I can't see everything, but on the sidewalk I can see pretty good. But that's not the way it is around God. It's absolutely perfectly light. Psalm 104:2 says, covering yourselves with light as with a cloak, speaking of course of God, stretching out heaven like a tent curtain. Psalm 4:6, many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. And that's the idea of God showing favor toward those who turn to him and revealing himself and showing his grace and mercy and blessing. Exodus 13:21, the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. That was a physical reality, but it also still gives us a picture today. Do we need God's leading from day to day? Do we need God's leading moment to moment? Does he give us light so that we can live and be guided? Yes, no. How many say yes? Yes. Okay. And that light, again, is through his word, but it's also his spirit working in us. The difference between an Old Testament believer and a New Testament believer is the Holy Spirit living in us, as we've talked about. You can't live out the New Testament or Old Testament unless the Holy Spirit is empowering you for that. And he gives us understanding and counsel. Sometimes he has to say, hey, what are you doing? And somebody says, yeah, keep going that way, keep going that way. This is the way I'm leading you. Keep following, keep following. I'm carrying you, I'm watching you. As long as you're yielded to my spirit, he works in that way. 2 Samuel 22:29, for you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. And again, Ezra 9:8, but now for a brief moment, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us an escaped remnant and to give us a peg in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and grant us a little reviving in our bondage. And so Ezra looked and gave hope to the Israelites at that time through mentioning the light that was being given. And we still have that hope, as God gives us hope and light as we're seeking him, as we're seeking to follow him. We might ask the question, is it literal or figurative? Literal or figurative? And I think it's both. We had light. We literally saw physical light that was guiding the Israelites, for instance. But we also speak of light as understanding, don't we? As knowledge, as comprehending. You know, so many things were shadowy and dark to us before we knew Jesus. I don't understand. I literally, as a kid, and I, before I came to the Lord when I was in my first year in high school, and people talk about Jesus, and say, yeah, that's that guy that, don't we have something about him at Christmas or Easter or something? I don't know. And I didn't know who he was, didn't have a clue. I figured he was important. And many of you can probably relate to that before you were believers in Jesus. Some of you were really little, and maybe you can't remember, and that's okay. But I'm just saying that we have to come to that understanding. But then it's like, when I came to an understanding and received Jesus, it's like all of a sudden everything was falling into place. And the more I studied his word, the more I was able to say, wow, look at that, cool, exciting, yes, now I get it. I wonder how many people, you see those signs in the end zone at football games, John 3:16. And some people are probably thinking, well, what is John doing at 3:16 this afternoon, you know? Or is that going to be tomorrow morning that he's going to do something? 3:16, well, we'll have to turn on the news and see what he did. And John who, by the way? Works out good if maybe the coach's first name is John or the quarterback or something. You don't know what it's talking about. I really think people must scratch their heads, right? I mean, hopefully it entices some of them to say, well, what is that? And maybe they look it up in the scripture. But many of us were like that before we understood, before we had light. And light also emphasizes especially the splendor and glory of God, the truthfulness of God and his purity. Revelation 21:23, what a hopeful verse. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and the lamp is the Lamb. Again, light for us ultimately is the sun, isn't it? I mean, we have artificial lights, but that's a relatively new thing in the world history. And yet we have the light of the sun, and we can't conceive of a world without the sun, can we? And yet here, we're being told that there's no need for the sun or the moon because God will illumine that place, that situation, as we get to those days when we're in the kingdom. Wow. Does that boggle your mind like it does mine? I don't understand that. I think it's really cool and I believe it, but I don't understand it. And also this speaks to the self-communicative nature of God. God is seeking to communicate himself to you and 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 you. And everybody's included, okay? God seeks to communicate about himself to you. Who he is, his love for you, his grace toward you, on and on and on. He seeks to communicate to humanity who he is. And again, because we're fleshly and because we're fallen, we have a real hard time that getting through. Our whole nature as human beings is to look for things that make us feel good. Okay? Physically, emotionally. We're driven by that from the time we're born. The kid comes out, and what's the kid doing? First, nothing. And now, if the doctor still slaps them, I don't know. But they start breathing, and they go, what? Hey, Mom, Dad, this is great. That's the first thing they say, right? What do they say? Well, yeah, there we go. It wasn't so hard to do that, was it? They cry. And why are they crying? Well, I think one, it hurt when that doctor poked him or whatever he did. And this is a totally different experience. Here they were in this comfortable, warm place, this womb where everything was perfect. And now they're out in this, what's this? I didn't even know this was out here. What is out here anyway? No clue. Abrupt, shocking. They don't even understand those words. But that's what they're experiencing. The only response they can have is, wow, I'm unhappy. Wow, this is scary. Wow, help me. Whatever they're thinking, I don't know. That was you, by the way. That was all of us. And from that moment until now, we have a tendency toward trying to make ourselves feel good and safe and secure, to eliminate fear from our lives. And we try to do that all on the physical realm. And we weren't designed for that. We were designed to find our satisfaction in the light, in the presence of God, and learning to live in that. But we're so distracted by this world that we have a hard time even believing that there's a spiritual. And yet the spiritual will outlast, began before, and will outlast the physical. And yet the physical will still exist. Because we're told we'd be given new bodies, won't we? And yet we'll have the ability to have and not have the problem of the fallen nature that keeps us from that deep calling to deep relationship that's talked about in Psalm 42. No darkness. I mentioned last week with the kids here about light coming out of the closet. You know how when you open the closet and the dark comes into the room? You ever notice that? You open the closet door and suddenly the room gets dark, right? Isn't that how it works? Darkness doesn't have any power, does it? It's just the opposite. When we open the closet door, the light rushes in and darkness is vanquished. I'm convinced that's a reality, a physical reality. But that's also, I think, meant to be a lesson to us of the power of the light of God. God has built lots of things into this world to educate us toward Him, to help us to understand our need for Him. And light accents God's empowering activity. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When did he say that? Do you know? What had he just done when he did that, when he said that? Remember a certain blind man? He just opened his eyes. And he's about opening our eyes too. Ephesians 5:8 and following, you were, just a piece of it, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And that's who we have become and who we're becoming. As we become His children, we become children of light. And God says, don't hide your light under a bushel. Jesus said, let it shine. That's logical. In light, we can have fellowship with God. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. Those who live in darkness and persist in darkness cannot have fellowship with God. If we're bent toward going away from God, God allows us to continue to go in that darkness of non-understanding. And they can even think they're in the light. I'm sure that John was speaking a lot of the Gnostics in this letter, and I'm sure that they believed they were in the light, but they weren't in the light. They were off track. They would have argued, they wouldn't have agreed that they were in darkness, but indeed they were. And light unveils truth. Light also reveals darkness. Light also reveals non-truth or lies. And one of the characteristics of being in the light is that we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. That's a product, that's a result of having a relationship with God. Two things that all the Ten Commandments, all of the law revolve around. What are they? Two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and... yeah. And so as we're loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and we're learning to walk in his light moment by moment in this life, the natural outcome of that, the natural overflow of that, will be loving those around us. No holds barred. And learning to know and love people, even when they rub us the wrong way. Anybody ever get rubbed the wrong way? You may feel for a moment, from the flesh standpoint, it's a little harder to love someone who's just been unkind to us, isn't it? And you say, in my flesh, I can't do it. You say, Jesus, you know, you called me to love everyone. And you know, we're in the business as human beings of rubbing God the wrong way 100% of the time as sinners. Amen? And God still said, I sent my son to die on the cross for you because my love for you, this is light, this is light. My love for you is unceasing and unlimited. It's boundless. Even in our sinful condition. He's got a much better view of how sinful we are than we do of our neighbor that just elbowed us for no particular reason. Maybe you were falling asleep and it was your spouse. You know? Maybe you were upset with somebody. But I guarantee you that if you start to have that attitude and you say, Lord, I know that you've called me to have a loving attitude toward this person or this situation that I'm in, and not necessarily the situation, but certainly the people involved. Lord, love through me. And I guarantee you he will if you're surrendered to that. He will work that way. He will work in your heart, and then you'll go, that is the Spirit of God working in me so that I might love my neighbor as myself. That's light. I've got some Greek words here, but I don't see any point in saying them. How many of you speak Greek? Okay. So I won't say them. But this little phrase here talks about not living out the truth, that we're living a lie if we're not showing, we're not allowing that love, that light to pour through us in love. We say we have fellowship with God, but we don't love our brother or our sister, we lie and do not practice the truth. We need to examine ourselves at that moment and say, Lord, I've got this attitude. And God says, well, you're not practicing the truth. What do you do with that? Oh, we've got another verse coming up, don't we? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a part of that transformation process that we're going through as believers. Anybody arrived? You know? How many are still on the way? Your pilgrim's on the way, still learning. Sometimes you blow it. Thankfully, we can go to 1 John 1:9, and we were reminded that the forgiveness of God is, again, boundless if we're ready to receive it. And we need to admit we need it, of course. You can't receive forgiveness unless you admit you need it, right? He said, I'm ready to forgive you. And you say, forgive me for what? I don't need forgiven. I didn't do anything to you. Well, if that's the attitude we have toward God, we've got a problem, amen? But we say, you know, Lord, you're right. I agree with you. I am imperfect. I am a sinner. In fact, there's a case in point recently in my life, XYZ. That I did, said, or thought. Thank you for your forgiveness. And those who live in the light, we're told, experience the cleansing blood of Christ. And that's very hopeful. Again, love of the brethren, love of our family in Christ is a product of the love of God And light brings honesty and restoration. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the light is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from most all of our unrighteousness. Is that what it said? All. Can you list all the sins you've ever committed? Every single one? I doubt it. You don't even know some of them. I'm sure I don't, about myself, let alone about you all. But God says that if we confess our sin, even the ones we didn't mention or don't know about, covered. Doesn't that should almost make you want to jump up and down and go, yes, this is great. Look what God has done for you. He's opened the way. He's restored us. I didn't see anybody bringing a sheep or a goat in here this morning, did you? You know, I didn't see any turtle doves. I didn't see any sacks of flour or wheat to bring as a sacrifice. Anybody bring their sacrifice? Didn't get to give it yet? I mean, we did bring offerings, didn't we? But that's a little different. The sacrificial system was meant to show just how bad our sin was. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be in Jerusalem, and especially high holy days where they're coming for the Passover or whatever? All those lambs, they said that when the lambs were being sacrificed for Passover, it was like a river of blood flowing out of the temple. Ugh. It was ghastly. You ever been to a slaughterhouse? Some of you have. You know, we don't think of it, you know, that meat that you get at the store in the old plastic things? That's not how it starts out. You know? I've always said that, you know, I'm a hunter. I do a lot of hunting. When we go to Walmart or the grocery store, I hunt for all kinds of things. And I'm largely successful. But if I go out in the woods, I just sit there, read my Bible, and pray, because the deer already know I'm there, and they're like, I see you've got that metal thing in your hand. There's no way I'm coming near you. And that's the way it's always been with me, with hunting, and actually fishing doesn't go so well either. I said to people, I don't mind catching so much. It's the fishing I get tired of. You know? And I did a lot of fishing as a kid, I guarantee you. My dad, that was the only kind of vacation we knew. But the meat that we get had to be slaughtered. And I've known people who worked in slaughterhouses. And it's just a messy business. It's what you do, but, you know, we're going to sacrifice a whole bunch of turkeys pretty soon, aren't we? Well, we aren't. Somebody's going to, you know. And there's already a bunch of them that are already frozen waiting for us. But that was meant to show us how horrible our sin is. How horrible. Is also meant to say over and over and over again they had to bring the sacrifices to the Lord. Did those sacrifices ever accomplish what we hoped or thought they might do? Really? No. If they did, you wouldn't have to offer another one and another one and another one and another one. Year after year, maybe even month after month in some cases. And what we learn is that in Christ, we walk in purity because Christ is that sacrifice. He has made atonement for us, and he's a priest that never dies. He's a priest that lives forever. In Hebrews, it talks about how the priests would die. Year after year, there were priests that were dying, and they couldn't hold us before God continually because they died. Jesus is a great high priest. He never dies. He's continually at the Father's side making intercession for us with the blood that's already atoned for us and covered us, and we come freely into the light, into the understanding, into the light of relationship with God. And we can live there continually. Okay, let's all jump up and say, wow! I hope that's at least in your heart. Wow!
I can be in the presence of God continually, and I don't have to keep groveling and say, oh, God, I'm so bad. God says, I know you're bad. That's why I sent my son. And now let's have a great relationship with one another. You have accepted my son, and I already accepted you in my son, and you've received that, and now you're my child, and I love you beyond what you can imagine. Let's walk closer and closer and closer. And I think I said this before. You think of the deer. And how many hunters do we have here? Or just photographers. You ever try to take a picture of a deer? Shoot a deer? And you come up there and you say, hey, I'm going to shoot you. And the deer says, okay, go ahead. In my experience, even if you're going to shoot them with a camera, they're out of there, right? That's us with God. We're the deer. We're timid. But in Christ, that timidity can be removed. As we come into the light and we realize that God isn't some ogre looking to destroy us and make our lives miserable, the light helps us to see that God loves us. And Jesus said over and over again, God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. God is a God of love. And on he went to try to help men. Such is the kingdom of God, is like a child coming to me and just trusting. Amen? Don't be a deer. Don't be afraid. Jesus welcomes you into his presence. And the emphasis is not on the sinful acts. The emphasis is on the work of God. In Christ. That's where our focus can be and should be. God is glorified in that. God isn't glorified in us going, oh God, I'm so bad, I'm so bad, I'm so bad. We know that. God is glorified in Jesus being resurrected and powerfully conquering all that sin. And we go, wow, you've done that for me? You ever gotten a really, really nice gift for your birthday or Christmas from somebody? And it was, frankly, you didn't expect it. I mean, it was like, not that they didn't love you, but it was like, you're going, you spent this much on me? Wow. And there's a part of you going, I really don't deserve this, you know? Maybe you're saying, yeah, I deserve it more. But no, I don't think you'd say that. You'd say, wow, this is beyond. That is a microcosm of what God has given you in Jesus Christ. Yeah, we don't deserve it. But gifts are not about deserving, are they? They're about the love of the giver for the receiver. We used to call this verse in verse 9 the Christian's spiritual bar of soap. You ever heard that? Spiritual bar of soap. You know? And we talk about, I think I mentioned spiritual breathing last week. I'll mention it again. The idea of spiritual breathing is that we breathe out our sin. We say, God, I confess I'm a sinner. Maybe there's a specific we need to bring to him. And then we receive. I mean, now, the Holy Spirit never leaves us. But we invite the Holy Spirit to retake the throne of our lives, if you will. We yield ourselves again to his power. And we seek him. And then that's like inhaling. Well, we can always come to God, and he will always receive. He will always accept us in Jesus as we come to him humbly, recognizing that we come by the blood of Christ. But then we come boldly because of the blood of Christ. Do we walk in the light? Can you walk in the light? How many want to walk in the light all the time? Well, you can. Now, there was a guy, I don't know if you ever heard of Brother Lawrence. Did I mention Brother Lawrence before? How many of you ever heard of him before? Okay, so maybe I haven't mentioned him here, so I will mention him now. He was a monk. He lived in, see what we got up there, yeah. He lived in, I believe, England. And, you know, he was the dishwasher. He was the cook, chief cook and bottle washer, okay, for the monastery. And you know what that meant he didn't get to do? the other monks were doing. I've got something here. What's, is that me or? Aha. Cell phone. He was a chief cook and bottle washer, and that meant he didn't get to go to the chapel with all the other monks. It was a monk, a monastery probably of, you know, maybe even 100 or more monks. And he was constantly, if he wasn't fixing a meal, he was cleaning up after one. And got done cleaning up, he was fixing the next meal. And so he was constantly away from the other things that the other monks were doing. And I suspect a few times he thought, you know, I didn't exactly come to the monastery just to wash and cook all the time. I could have done that where I was living. That's not the attitude he took on. He learned that he could practice the presence of God moment by moment as he went about his chores, about his activity. And he learned that God was present in the kitchen. He was present in the washing of the dishes. He was present in the cooking of the food. As he acknowledged that presence in his heart, he began to experience that presence. Many of you work. Many of you have all things you're doing. I think you need to have that time each day where you can just get alone quietly and stop and be with the Lord. But how do you carry that time with you throughout the day? But learning to walk in that light that's ever present, learning to realize God is ever present. There was another fellow by the name of Frank Laubach, and he's written this book that's up there, if you can see it, Christ Lives in Me, The Game with Minutes. And he was a missionary. And he was, missionaries are pretty busy. They're like pastors, you know, they can be really busy a lot of the time. And what he sought to do was to think of God at least once every minute in some way. Obviously a uplifting way or a worshipful way. But he learned to do that. He kept doing that. And he said it was revolutionary in his life. His attitudes about things improved. He saw powerful answers to prayer. He saw, most of all, this deepening love within him that could only be explained by realizing the realization more and more of the presence of Christ in his life. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And the main thing that we are created to do is to have fellowship with God. Amen? That's what we're made to do. And what we want to do, not as a rigorous legalistic exercise, that's not the point of this, you understand. You know, I could try to think of my lovely bride every minute, and that'd be nice, but she's not necessarily going to know whether I'm thinking her or not, right? But if I think of God every minute, he knows. What if you think of him every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even half hour? That may be more than what you think of him, you know, otherwise. And you begin working on this thing of being aware of his presence and his love in your life constantly. He lives here. We've got to know it here and let it go back down to here in love back towards him. And then he's pouring his love through us and it goes back to him. And you know, the residual is we suddenly look at our neighbor and we don't even care whether they've done something to offend us. We're just busy loving God and that love is overflowing toward them. Somebody kicks us in the shin and we say, praise God, thank you, God bless you. I'm not kidding you. Our attitude will have changed that much that we may even bless someone who is rude to us. I don't even say may. You will. You will. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for what you've done for us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've opened the way that we might have life with you and we might have it abundantly, that we may know it not just in length of time, but in fullness and depth, moment by moment. May we be men and women. May we be your children who are ever sensing and loving you in our hearts and allowing that just to overflow abundantly to our brothers and sisters, and even beyond. And may you be glorified in it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Do we have another song, brother?
We'll sing the chorus.
Okay.
Again, from
let's stand up and... neglected to mention Virginia. She left Saturday morning to head to Omaha. She will be gone for several weeks, and they're going down toward Texas after she picks up, Paula, there in Omaha. So they're kind of resting today, but tomorrow they start traveling again. So we'll pray for them as we close here this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your great love. And we do pray for our sister Virginia as they're traveling, and of course Paula, as they're traveling together and as they do the ministry and are about the ministry that you've called them to. We pray for success for that, because success will look like men and women and boys and girls coming to know Yeshua HaMashiach. That you would open the hearts of many Jewish people and others too, Lord, but we think particularly of the Jewish people they seek to reach out to, and I know that she's ministered to Arabic people and all sorts, Lord. We pray that you'd open their hearts that they might receive you. And Father, as we go out of this place, may we go out allowing your love just to shine in us, through us, and out of us, that you may be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and go with you. Be sure to greet a few. You're dismissed.